word can become so familiar to us just by hearing it all the time that it can sound almost polite. So if you say they are false prophets, it sounds almost polite at some point, like you're trying to be gentle with them. It loses its intended tensity. It doesn't do that in the Greek. They are fake. They are liars. It retains its strength. When lie, to say someone is a liar, is, you know, them's fighting words with some.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching through the book of 1 John. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Today, Pastor Rick continues his message that he's called Against the Self-Deceived as he teaches through 1 John chapter 1.
Now, John, in his gospel and in his letter, he says a few things describing God: light, love, truth, life, just in this one little letter. In his gospel, he said, God is true. He says here in verse 5 that God is light. In verse 1, he says, God is life. In chapter 4, he will say, God is love and God is spirit. Paul rings in and says, God is faithful. We are to not only understand these, we are to grasp them, to clinch, to grab hold of these things. They're not secondary things. They're primaries. God is true. God is faithful. He is light. He is love. He is spirit. God is the real thing. Sin, of course, dims the light. Sin in us. Original sin and, of course, subsequent sin. We are born sinners. As the psalmist said, I was born in iniquity. In iniquity, my mother brought me forth. Dimming our quest to shine bright for the Lord. Many Christians start out wanting to shine brightly for Christ, and then they have this encounter with themselves. And they give up. They quit. Shakespeare says it this way, but for these vile guns, I would have been a soldier. I love the marching. I love the uniforms, the whole saluting thing, the parades. But combat, stuff rips you apart. Many Christians approach it that way. I love the songs. I love the Bible. Combat. Facing an enemy who is trying to wipe me out, who hates my guts. I was watching an interview of some of those Marines in Vietnam, certainly many decades later, and one of them said, we came under fire in an ambush. It was a radio operator, and they want the radio operator. They want to take him out very quickly so you can't call help. And he said, I poked my head up. I don't know why I did. I never did that, but I did, and a shot just missed my head. And then I did it again. And another shot just missed my head. Then I realized this person is trying to kill me. I mean, he's only 18, 19 years old at the time. Now he's talking about the story. He's in his 60s. He said, they're trying to kill me. It's personal. He doesn't even know me. He doesn't know my mom. Well, that's how it is for us. Satan's trying to take you out. But for these vile guns, well, accept it. Is anyone ever surprised when you meet with temptation? Huh? Not at all. I've learned to be a little sickened by it. Oh, man. This is going to be a tough one. This guy can't drive, and there's no other lane. I'm going to have to kill him. No. Well, we do what we do because of what we are, and what we are sinners who need a Savior. And a Savior who does not, he's not a fair-weathered friend. You know the kind of friend that's only your friend when it benefits them? That's not Christ. He's our friend through what we would say thick or thin, good times, bad times, sunshine, storms. Christ is there. God is true, and he is loving, and he is light, as he has said. Only light chases out darkness. Only the knowledge of the Word, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that chases away the darkness. It's continuous. It's not a one-time thing. It's not an instant. I become saved and okay, there's no more darkness to chase out. It is daily. Only love can chase out hatred. Only love can chase out hatred. And only faith can chase out faithlessness. This is what we're called to do. This is what one of the things that separates us. We have a name and a face and a personality on all of this, our God, through Jesus Christ and no other. And when the world says, I hate that, I'm against that, you're narrow-minded, when they call you narrow-minded, you can say, yep, 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 yep. Narrow is the way, and straight is the way that leads to eternal life, and I'm taking it, and you're not going to take it from me. And many of us have gone to the stake, the fiery stake, holding to the faith in verse 6. Now, verse 5 that I just finished commenting on, that should be the longest session of verses commented on. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. He's got time for theories at this point. He's an old man, and he's like, you know what? You're lying. If you say that you're with Christ, but you're doing evil, you're a liar. When he says, if we say we have fellowship with God, he says, if you're saying you're friends with God, but you think your sin doesn't count, am I understanding this right? And peace with God does not depend on attaining sinless perfection, because it can't be done. Peace with God depends on my relationship with Christ, and that is through submission and how I deal with the sin that I will commit from time to time. Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, not deeds, by faith, by trusting the message of Christ, which contains the history of Christ, Jesus, he says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a defiant spirit, there's a loving spirit in this, depending on the moment. And then he says, walk in darkness. He's saying, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, that means you're living happily in opposition to Christ. Christians don't do that. When our behavior is in opposition, when we're mean-spirited to someone, when we should have been nice, which is kind, which is most of the time, and we're not, we're disturbed by that. And husbands and wives need to go over to each other when they've been mean-spirited and say, I am sorry. That doesn't mean you're going to be taxed more by the IRS. Ah, you said you're sorry. That's $50 right there. Doesn't mean you're going to be viewed as a less of a person, as a Christian, when you say, I was wrong. Now, if it's every 5 minutes, that could be a kind of a problem. Then probably because you don't like cherries. But I tell you what to do about that. Right. Anyway, if you're living happily in opposition to Christ, against his will and his lordship, you're in darkness. Whether you think it's the brightest place ever or not, if you're in opposition to him, if you say no to Jesus Christ, I don't like you as my Lord, I don't believe you are my Lord, and you're not my Savior, you're in the dark. He continues, if you do this, if you say you're friends with him, but you live like a devil, you're a liar. He says we lie and do not practice the truth. He uses that pronoun, we, I think 15 times in this little paragraph. And he throws one us in there too. He's identifying with human beings as a human being, but one who is not only saved by grace, but is entrusted with the highest authority among humans to preach the gospel and set its precepts in place, its rules. We lie to God and man if we think we can reject him and remain friends with him. Incidentally, the word we lie that he says there, if you're doing this, you're lying. Our English word pseudo derives from this. You know, it's false, it's fake. Pseudo prophets, pseudo scholars. bogus, untrue, imposters, deceivers. And he will use that quite a few times in his letter. I think 9 times he uses that Greek word in some tense in referring to false prophets and those who are deceived and self-deceived. The self-deceived one enjoys their deception. The deceived one doesn't know that they're deceived yet, and it's up to us to point it out through the word. See, a word can become so familiar to us just by hearing it all the time that it can sound almost polite. So if you say they are false prophets, it sounds almost polite at some point, like you're trying to be gentle with them. It loses its intended tensity. It doesn't do that in the Greek. They are fake. They are liars. It retains its strength. When lie, to say someone is a liar, is, you know, them's fighting words with some. So paraphrasing this verse, he says, if we say we have God's approval to sin, we are lying. And that's what it means. Remember, the Gnostics were doing this. You say, who does this? Well, the Gnostics were teaching this. They were coming along saying, sin doesn't matter. It's because it's physical, but God is spiritual. And he's only interested in the spiritual things, the things we believe in. He's not interested in how we behave. And that's why he's just laying it out like this to them. So he calls them liars because they had no friendship with God to boast. On the contrary, they were enemies of God. And they're walking around acting as though they're teachers. And they're saying that the apostles really have not developed as they have developed. They don't know as much as they have come into contact, knowledge that they've come in contact with. Cannot tamper with God's holiness. He calls us to obey. You're not going to get away from that word as a believer. Obedience is a part of salvation. And those who mess with it are doing it to their own hurt and the hurt of others. There's no twilight zones with John, and that's why he's saying, laying it out as it is. If you have passion for the truth, you will have passion against a lie. The two are irreconcilable. You cannot be passionate for the truth and buddies with lies. And so he says in verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, that is to see life as God wants us to see it because he has shown it to us. He shined the light on it. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 5. O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of Yahweh. Now, you may not walk well in the light, for whatever reason, maybe shallow Christianity, whatever, but you're in the light as opposed to those who are in darkness who are against Christ. You're not against him. You're just weak. I think God has left some Christians to be weak just so the rest of us don't get puffed up in our heads. And we understand that that this life that we are going through is a no-nonsense affair as believers. And we cannot and must not shoot our wounded. We must take care of them. As Paul said, by the grace of God, there I go. By God's grace, I am what I am. He says here in verse 7, we have fellowship with one another. Because you can't have friendship and peace if the essentials are not in place. That's what ecumenicism is. It is saying we don't care about the essentials. Our views are better than God's views. We think it's better for everyone to just hold hands and eat s'mores. And God, of course, he puts a curse on that. He says, the wrath of God abides on you because you have rejected my Son by discarding what he has said so clearly in the Gospels and in the letters, even through the Revelation. He says in verse 7 also, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from some of the sins, from a few of the sins, from the really not so bad ones. Of course not. All sin all of it, original and subsequent sin. Original sin, you're born a sinner. Nothing you can do about that in this life. You are born a sinner, but you can become a sinner saved by grace by being born again. Everything changes. The blood of Christ and no other blood, not goats, not bulls, no one, no other human being. Romans chapter 6, verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not born under the law, but under grace. Sin's not going to rule you, believer, because now you are under grace. The judgment is not on you. Yes, you still mess it up from time to time, but you get a lot right too. Don't throw that away. Don't, of course, let it go to your head for one moment. Let it go to your heart. To whomsoever much is given, much is required. If you've been able to pull off some obedience in your life, it's given to you by the Spirit of God. And if you struggle, you're in the fight. Welcome. So I no longer come under God's judgment, but His grace. Come under His grace. This New Testament theology. I come before God, it's all grace on me. Unless I start playing games with Him. Denying who I am. Does not mean we can be careless about our behavior ever as believers. We have this radical cleansing. That's what the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all of the sin. That's radical. That is through the Son. Peter talks about it in 1 Peter Chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, knowing that you were not, page turned, redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Very beautiful. So is this verse, one of the most beautiful verses in all of the Bible, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. There's that pronoun from all sin. That pronoun becomes a personal pronoun. It becomes me. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin. I've got to believe that. I'm not just preaching to other people. I'm not standing up and saying when I'm sharing leading someone to Christ as just a Christian. I'm not saying these things are all for you. But I'm outside of it somehow because I've got hardship in my life. No, hardship or not, the blood of Christ is there. It's radical. But there's another part of this, that all sin part. It's recurrent cleansing, not just instantaneous. I'm not cleansed one time from my sin. It's current. It's flowing. In Ephesians 5, it says the washing of the word. It is repetitive, and this is by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm not leaving you without parental love and care. I'm not leaving you as orphans. Any of you know the work of George Mueller? You know his heart was just broken by how many orphans infested the streets of London, and he did something about it. And, you know, George Mueller said to the Lord, I will never let another man know what my financial needs are. And God took care of him. A remarkable story. I don't have faith like that. I've got some faith, though. I can do other things. And I must not let my, I can't be a George Mueller, so I quit. then I'm going to work with what I have. God, that's what God does. He works with the resources that are given to him. So this concept of atonement, of getting right with God when we are wrong with God to begin with, it is introduced to us in the Old Testament. And it is illustrated for us through the blood sacrifices. It's developed in the New Testament and finalized in Christ. But those Old Testament sacrifices, when you saw the smoke coming from the tabernacle that Moses had put in the wilderness, you saw your sin being dealt with if you wanted it dealt with. When you brought your offering there, that was you, that offering that had its throat cut and was cut up and flayed and put on the fire. Judgment for sin. And God spared you and I from these things. It was God's picture book to little children. And the little children grab it and understand it. John, in his next chapter after this, he'll say in the second verse, and he himself is propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the entire world. The whole world can be is redeemed but not saved. You have to come get it. You have to receive it. If you win the lottery, you should give it to me because I like cherries. Just a little kind of a break there I had to take. I'm back. So, if you win the lottery and you have the ticket, if you don't go cash it in, you don't get the cash. Salvation, you need to come get it. Cash it in. Repent. Receive the Lord Jesus or you don't get it. And that's our message. I think it's very fair. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Who does that? Who says I have no sin? That kind of person, it's like arguing with someone who insists water is not wet. You just can't reach them. They're irretrievable because they have decided that this is the happy place they want to stay, and they're comfortable with a lie. I've met one person in all my years as a Christian that was telling me he had no sin, and he was just repeating bad doctrine. And, of course, just dismissed. That was the end of the conversation. There's nothing else. Are you kidding me? You're lying right now. That's a sin. Anyway, it was pointless. You say, well, why is John writing this? Did he meet people? Yeah, the Gnostics were saying I don't have sin. It's my sin is physical. It doesn't count because spiritually I don't want to do it. So I'm off the hook. That's what was taking place. That's fine except for the victims, right? My sin doesn't count while I'm robbing you of your money and lying to you or harming you in some way or misusing you. How convenient. Therefore, they said their sinful actions did not matter. If it feels good, do it. Don't we have those today? Live and let live. I'm not harming you with my sin. Yeah, you are. You're harming someone. 1 John, again, chapter 3, verse 10. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are revealed. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. You want to play these games? You say, I love you, but I'm going to steal from you. I'm going to lie to you. I'm going to actively try to harm you. And God said through the prophet, you're lying then. Because love doesn't seek to do these things. Unprovoked. Again, if you're in law enforcement, you have every right to enforce the laws, so long as they are not violation of God. I want policemen to shoot people who are shooting other people. And so, anyway, coming back to this, fatal deception is what it is because it prevents a person from admitting who they are and receiving forgiveness from God, and God is not going to receive people if they do not admit who they are any more than you would. If someone was, lying to your face, they just stole from you, you caught them, you have it on, you caught it on the camera, and they stand there and say, I didn't do it. You can't have peace with that person. It's just no way. Why would we expect a holy God to be tolerant of such impudence? It's not acceptable. We must face our sin before God through Jesus Christ to receive his mercy. All those Old Testament sacrifices, again, were admissions of guilt. I am guilty and I need forgiveness. And that must have mercy. And that's why the mercy seat, the cherubim on the mercy seat, were facing down at the mercy seat where God sits, where the blood was put by the high priest on the Day of Atonement. In verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so he goes back to it. Another verse worthy of remembering, of memorizing. You want power in your witness? Memorize some verses that have to do with sin and the personality of God. And then use them on unbelievers as the doors open. They don't get the word. They're not going to, let me run home and read the Bible real quick. They're not going to do that. And if they do, they'll probably go to Genesis and not get convicted. You need to come into the truth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, but not any part of God. If you just say, Isaac begot Jacob, that's not enough. You got to go a little bit deeper. So, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession is the gateway.
Thanks for tuning in to Cross Reference Radio. Cross Reference is a ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville in Virginia. If you'd like to learn more about this ministry, we invite you to visit our website, crossreferenceradio.com. You'll find a number of teachings from Pastor Rick available there. We also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast. When you subscribe, you'll be notified of new editions of Cross Reference Radio. Just search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes, Google Play Music, or your favorite podcast app store. You can also follow the links at crossreferenceradio.com. We're glad we were able to spend time with you today. Tune in next time to continue learning from the book of 1 John with Pastor Rick, right here on Cross Reference Radio.